All right, let me jump over here to the Right Side Way monologue, the daily monologue. Don't forget, every single day we do this. It's a series of commentaries and just giving you thoughts that you might want to hold on to. So let me just follow up what I just said a moment ago. So Barack Obama's back in the news, right? Gave a speech yesterday designed for vote shaming. You heard me, vote shaming. I'll dissect that more in detail a little bit later. But for now, just know that Obama, whose mother was white, met with a group of supporters yesterday and told them, his words, that he wasn't feeling enough excitement about voting for Kamala from, quote, the brothers. Basically saying what Biden said back in 2020, that if black folks don't vote for Democrats, then they just ain't black. It's pure vote shaming. It's also galling levels of extreme prejudice. Extreme prejudice. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a position of realizing that someone who has a position of authority or influence over you had already decided that you just did not measure up and should therefore, you know, deal with you with a separate outcome? So yeah, I just described the root of prejudice. And by the way, that's actually more than just racism. I mean, to be sure, prejudice is a part of racism, but prejudice can extend to more than just race. Prejudice is the preconceived opinion about someone or something that is not always based on reason or actual experience. Under the law, it can also be something that results in harm. And when you couple prejudice with a position of influence, well, then you get a recipe for disaster. Prejudice tries to get around barriers. Prejudice looks for loopholes and workarounds to maintain its bias, even though, at its worst, prejudice takes action against someone for no good reason. But prejudice can also be found in just like an indifference, like you don't matter as much to me, therefore I won't help you. Or because I have a preconceived notion about you, I will expect X and so from you and nothing more. Well, I had a personal experience once. Here's one of my personal moments of dealing with prejudice. So 21 years ago, I was preparing to take the bar exam. Made a late in life decision to go to law school. But I was doing so a year later than I had planned because 9/11 had happened and I had deployed immediately for Afghanistan. So after a year at war, I came home to take the bar exam and imagine my shock when I was told that some of my prerequisites had expired because I had been away for a year. Imagine my further shock when I let the bar know that all my prereqs had been completed in a timely fashion and were all, you know, straight up, only to find out that the bar didn't even care. In fact, one guy at the bar didn't care. His name was Keith Norman, and he was the director of the Alabama State Bar at the time. It didn't matter that everything was done to standard. It didn't matter the delay was going to set me back another year. With an attitude of complete indifference, I was told, with a lack of care and concern and a complete expressed level of indifference by the director of the state bar, to just go, quote, use some of that good law school learning you got and appeal it. Well, he shouldn't have said that because I did. I may be the only attorney in the state of Alabama who had to sue the state bar to be allowed to take the bar exam. It didn't stop there. I won, and then they tried shaming me when I got to the bar exam. In a room full of hundreds of people, I was made to sit in the front row middle seat, the very seat in front of which the executive director, who had just lost to me in my legal challenge, stood to address the room right smack in front of me a little bit later. So it was indifference at first. Then it was intimidation. Why? I don't know. By the way, he lost again when I passed the bar. Maybe he didn't like me. Maybe he didn't like my law firm or my law school. Maybe he didn't believe that I would do anything about it because he believed himself to be above my concerns. I've learned that not every form of prejudicial behavior can even be explained. But I've also learned that almost without fail, the bullies and the go-along to get-alongs and the calloused indifferent individuals, all of them will at times allow their individual prejudices to stand up against you, but they will also often back down when they are confronted with truth. I say all that because, in my opinion, we're watching a revolution take place right now. There's a pushback from people who are tired of being pigeonholed by prejudice. I'm talking about conservatives who are saying to the woke elitists that enough is enough. Like conservative influencer Robbie Starbuck, he's been exposing liberal corporations left and right lately, basically making known how badly some of them have chosen to treat conservative consumers. And when faced with the truth, companies have begun finally pulling back from the woke cliff they were standing next to. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. In a world in which the mantra has become diversity, equity, and inclusion, we are finding more and more that prejudice has flipped the script into a new realm of negative action and indifference. Basically, in what amounts to a round of prejudice and corporate action, we're seeing more and more that if we are conservative in our views, holding fast to traditional values, even our faith, that there are companies that will lash out or at best simply become callous and indifferent. But I recently discovered an organization I got to tell you about. It's called the 1792 Exchange. 1792 Exchange. They have a website called the 1792exchange.com. And they have issued a report that's updated regularly showing 3,100 major corporations around the U.S. that it says have taken it upon themselves to treat conservatives differently, even prejudicially. It's named for the year that the American Stock Exchange was founded, 1792. It says, by the way, on their website that they exist to, quote, preserve freedom of speech and enterprise and religion by countering what it calls woke capitalism. The 1792 Exchange has a mission to develop policies and resources to protect us from wokeness in the world of public commerce. And in doing so, it's compiled a pretty darn good look at major companies that have taken it upon themselves to have differing standards for how they're going to treat people, not on race and gender, but just on values. Woke standards that automatically create a prejudice toward anyone who dares to have a differing worldview. A bent towards conservatism, and you may wind up being deplatformed or denied a loan or having an opportunity closed to you for no other reason than just a prejudicial view against your own views. Now, some of the examples are listed like Bank of America. They set their vendors based on their commitment to LGBTQ values. They've ceased lending with some gun manufacturers. It's also provided funding to Planned Parenthood as well as the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have a long track record of targeting conservative groups. Don't like the agenda? Don't promote ESG? You might not do business with Bank of America. How about Ben & Jerry's? They're listed in the 1792 Exchange Report, too. That famous Vermont ice cream company. Ice cream. I mean, it's ice cream. Defund the police campaigns. Opposed legislation meant to limit election fraud. Said the criminal justice system must be dismantled. And openly advocated for pro-abortion policies, among other things. How about companies that you might use every day, like BP? Like you go to a BP gas station, right? BP scored a 95 on the human rights campaigns for support of the LGBTQ agenda, and they pay transgender medical costs for their employees and their employees' children. BP is a big supporter of ESG policies. They also support the deplatforming of conservatives and media and basic censorship of so-called disinformation. But the 1792 Exchange report does more than just make people aware of the woke prejudice that's all too pervasive in woke corporations. It also talks about what to do about it. Make it known. You make it known, you make yourself known to them, and you ask for them to revise their position for good cause shown. And when that doesn't work, and much like me with the state bar, there'll be times it doesn't work, then there'll be a need for legal or legislative action. The whole thing that I read about 1792, it ends by saying this. It said, quote, if conservatives don't soon make a concerted effort to fight back against woke corporations, then America will soon be transformed beyond repair. Look, in my particular case, I had a guy that was indifferent to me, could care less about me, maybe even prejudice against me, and if I had just sat still and taken my lumps, it would have delayed my practice by another year. And really, what I couldn't see was that I wound up going to Iraq later, so it probably would have staggered in and delayed me by 2 to 3 years. I had to take action. It was for my family. But that's no different than what we face in everyday life. Your business, your own personal spending, your own personal investments, they should not be subject to a prejudice against you by others who have chosen a position based solely upon what you believe. If we sit still and say nothing, if we sit still and say nothing and do nothing, then that prejudicial behavior is going to work harm that goes beyond what we might be able to foresee. And I'm going to say right now, not on my watch. And I know this kind of audience, and I would say the same for you. Not on our watch. Extreme prejudice, it has to go. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.